Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Woman, I'm so tickled to have you back here with me again. And if you're new to the show and you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Love in the Skin You're In show, and I'm your host, Andrea Amador. I'm the author of the book Love in the Skin You're In, The Juicy Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Friends with Your Body. And I'm known as the Juicy Woman. What I'm here to help you do is to create a space for you to feel more powerful in your life. I created this show to tilt the axis on your thinking and to inspire you to see things from a fresh perspective. I want to encourage you to call in because this is a live call-in show. I want to hear your story and I want you to ask your questions. The number is 760-888-5736. And if you're following me on Twitter, it's at The Juicy Woman. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of being more compassionate with yourself. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Are you torturing yourself every day because you're overweight? Are you focusing on your flaws, driving yourself absolutely crazy, feeling frustrated, trying to look for every single thing that's wrong with you, looking for wrinkles or pimples or back fat or whatever it is? So many women are. You know, without even realizing it, our scales, mirrors, even the words, the things that we speak, the words out of our mouth, and the clothes we wear, it's become weapons of mass destruction. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. And I'm going to help you to break the cycle of self-hatred by changing the way that you're thinking about it. Let me start by sharing a quote from, one of the people from whom I've learned so much about myself and the roots of my own eating obsession. You've probably heard of her. She's the best-selling author and speaker, Janine Roth. Do you know that she has over 40 years of experience in learning how to make peace with food? I mean, that rocks my world. In her book, Feeding the Hungry Heart, The Experience of Compulsive Eating, she hits the mark in explaining why so many of us struggle with the subconscious resistance to losing weight. This is what she says. Fat becomes your protection from anything you need protection from. Men, women, sexuality, blossoming or developed, frightened feelings of any sort. It becomes your rebellion, your way of telling your parents, your lovers, the society around you, that you don't have to be who they want you to be. Fat becomes your way of talking. It says, I need help. Go away. Come closer. I can't. I won't. I'm angry. I'm sad. It becomes your vehicle for dealing with every problem you have. If you take away the fat without uncovering the needs it is expressing, you are left without a way to say what you do, don't want to, or don't know how to, or feel you can't say directly. Fat speaks for you. Did you know that your heart, this is me, did you know that your heart, as with every other part of your body, it's electromagnetically charged? And with your heart, it carries impulses to your brain and throughout your body. I want to give you a new way of listening to your heart because it communicates so much information that many times we just ignore. When something feels right or is true for you, the first place you feel it is in your heart. Some people call this intuition or inner guidance. To my way of thinking, it's all a way of accessing your soul's higher intelligence. You can call it whatever you want to, God, Buddha, higher power. No matter what you call it, you can tap into that internal communication and awareness on a consistent basis. Here's something I want to share with you. I call it a try it. Try it is a wink and a nod in remembrance and appreciation of my days as a Brownie Girl Scout leader. I'd like you to place your hand over your heart and slowly follow along with me as I read the following quote by Doreen Virtue. And repeat it several times. Every extra pound I carry on my body equals a pound of emotional pain I'm carrying in my heart. Let's say that again. And I want you to close your eyes and really, really feel it. Every extra pound I carry on my body equals a pound of emotional pain I'm carrying in my heart. Now, one more time. I want you to think about it and feel it. Feel, is this true for you? Every extra pound I carry on my body equals a pound of emotional pain I'm carrying in my heart. Keep your hand on your heart and take some time and think about the words and what they mean to you. Does anything come up? Do you notice any images or memories popping up? Maybe there are words that are coming up or thoughts. Do you hear when you think about it? What kinds of things come up? What feelings arise? Now, as you think about that again, keep your hand over your heart and ask yourself, does this feel true to me? Check in with that. I want you to do that on a consistent basis because there's a lot of stuff that's going on and many, many things that you tell yourself all day long over the course of the day, little put-downs or snarky criticisms or nasty little things that you say. And many times you're saying them just because you've probably heard them before, maybe when you were a kid, maybe someone told them to you, but it stuck. It kind of became a part of your way of talking to yourself. And that's what I want to help you to do. I want to help you to separate and dissociate yourself from some of the things that you're doing that are hurting you. Maybe you don't see it directly. Maybe you don't feel it directly. But if you're struggling, if you're feeling anxious around food or frustrated or fearful or out of control, it's because something is going on that is making you feel threatened and under pressure. And many times we create so much chaos in our lives where there really doesn't need to be any. Because oftentimes, because we've said or done something that is against what we feel is right, we kind of punish ourselves. And we put ourselves in this position where we create a lot of misery in our lives because we feel that we need to punish ourselves for things that we've done, people perhaps that we've hurt, things we've done wrong, wrongs that we've done, the little lies and cheats and things that we do from the time that we're kids to now just because we're human. All those screw-ups, many, many times we feel the need to punish ourselves. I want to hear from you. This is a live call-in show. My number is 760-888-5736. Now, I want you to think about the way that your body is. Where's the fat on your body? Is it just on your face or neck, on your arms, back, your chest, legs? Or is it like all over, evenly distributed, making you seem just like a large woman? Is it all in one spot? Is it concentrated in one area, maybe on your thighs, making you a pear shape? Or does it show up on your stomach and abdomen where the rolls of fat kind of cover your genitals? where is that excess weight? And I'm asking you, and I want you to ask yourself in a non-judgmental, loving, compassionate way. Here's a very, very helpful way of thinking about this. Where do you carry your armor? And I want you to think for a moment of all of that extra weight as being like a suit of armor, a way of keeping something out or holding something in. You know, one of the things, one of the people that I've learned so much from is Louise Hay. And in her best-selling book, You Can Heal Your Life, she explains that there are really just two mental patterns that create disease and pain in our body. There's anger and there's fear. And when you think about it, the armor of the extra weight that you've been building up in your body, it's probably an unconscious effort of yours to deal with one of those, anger or fears. Give me a call, 760-888-5736. Louise Hay says, where you carry your weight speaks volumes about the type of emotional pain that you're holding inside of you. She goes on to talk about a variety of ways that the body parts and the illnesses are correlated and how they correspond to various emotional blocks within your body. She says they're probable causes, and in this book, what she does is she offers ways of changing your thinking so that you could overcome those resistance patterns. But I want you to think about it. What has your body armor been protecting you from? Going back, when you think about the way that I started and the quote that I started with, if you remember Doreen Virtue's statement about the heart and the emotional weight on your heart, if that statement felt true for you, what do you think the emotional pain would be that you're carrying on your body and in your heart? Okay, give me a call, 760-888-5736. I want you to think about it. If your body could talk, what would it say? If your thighs could ask for something, what would it be? What would your arms want to tell you? What kind of message would your stomach have to say? I know, it sounds so stupid. I know, but the thing is, it's really, really true. Your body has been trying so desperately to tell you something. Every single time you stuffed food into your mouth when you knew you weren't hungry. And I'm begging you, isn't it time to start listening? I really want you to start having different conversations with your body. It's actually your friend. I know. I mean, if you're a dieter like I've been, you know what it's like to feel like your body is your worst enemy. You can't seem to do anything right. You know, every week goes by and you weigh yourself on the scale, and instead of looking for that, getting that loss that you wanted so desperately, maybe it stayed the same, or maybe you gained weight. There's this constant push-me-pull-you thing that goes on with our body. And we learn early on to think of our bodies as being an enemy. You know, several years ago, I participated in something. It's you can find it on the internet. It's absolutely fabulous. You've probably heard of the blogger site, blogger.com, and that's www.blogher.com. Excuse me. A couple years ago, they did what is called a letter to my body. It was a campaign. And they were, the name of the woman who started it was Suzanne Reisman. It was a campaign. called Letter to My Body. And the whole purpose of it was to encourage women to start writing letters to their bodies and begin a very, very different conversation with yourself. This was so amazing to me because as a gal who spent so much of my life avoiding, trying to run away from, and hating and separating from my body, this blew my mind. Over the years, it's probably been maybe about 3 or 4 years that I've really started to change the way that I see my body. I've been learning how to love my body more each day. And each time I get like another chunk of insight and learn more how I can be compassionate, how I can feel different, and how that up-levels my life, you can bet that you're going to be the next one to hear about it. It just gets me so, so excited. So when I share what it is that I learn, I take that message of self-acceptance and I offer it to you so that you can learn to be more compassionate and loving with yourself. I want to encourage you to write a letter to your body because it's just going to blow open the doors for you. Please, please sit down today and just imagine that just imagine that you're writing to a friend. Because you don't know it, but your body really is your friend. If you start to open up that line of communication with your body, there is so much healing and beauty that's inside that for you. But the thing is, don't be surprised. In the very beginning, when you start opening up that letter of that communication, when you start talking, there's going to be a lot of venting, and there's going to be a lot of anger and hatred. Because it's just part of the stuff that you've been buying into for so long. And it's just natural for you to feel angry and hateful and feel like your body is the cause of all of the things going wrong with your life. And it's okay. Just let it out. There is no judgment. It's just a way for you to start having a conversation with a part of you that you may have long ago just forgotten about or discounted or disowned. You know, you've got to try it. I think if you go to blogger.com, you do a slash or a search for Letter to My Body, and that will pop you right into the part where you can see other women's letters to their body and just share your own. You know, every time, oh, please give me a call. My number is 760-888-5736. One of the things that is such a pet peeve of mine, it drives me absolutely crazy, is whenever I see commercials where this beautiful, happy, slender woman, she's just chatting on and on about her weight loss, and she's usually standing beside a life-size picture of herself before she started her diet, and it looks sad and unhappy and blah, just totally miserable. And she looks at that before photo, and she looks so disgusted and grossed out, and she usually in these stupid commercials, the women push the picture away, and it's like they're totally disgusted by it. And I can relate, because I used to feel that way in the past about myself. But now, whenever I see those commercials, I just want to cry. Because if you really, really think about it, you know that that same person that you were before you started your weight loss journey and during the weight loss journey, you are really that same person now. It doesn't matter a damn if you're down to your ideal size or 100 pounds, you know, beyond that or somewhere in between. The fact is, you are still the same person. And for you to respond to yourself, a part of yourself, in that way with such judgment and disdain and like, you're not worth it to me, you're not worth my time, that is hurting yourself. It makes me crazy when I see women just putting off their life. Are you waiting, you know, to become thin for things to start kicking up in your life? Have you ever believed that, you know, during the time that you were dieting, it was like just for now, something you just kind of had to just get through, grin and bear it and just deal with it? It makes you crazy, doesn't it? Come on, gals, give me a call, 760-888-5736. The thing is, I need to grab some water. And you grab some water, too. The thing is, if you keep on holding out and waiting until you're finally thin for things to start, you're going to spend so much time resenting yourself. I used to think that the time that I spent losing weight was kind of like living in a vacuum, that it didn't really count because I was waiting until I finally reached my goal weight. Oh, my gosh. I remember years ago I used to watch Regis and Kelly, and one of the parts of the show was that they had these great recipes. And there was this woman on the show who shared a recipe for goal weight brownies. It was so funny. So I thought I was just, my mouth was watering over these brownies. They looked so incredibly good. It was chocolate and caramel and marshmallows and nuts and, oh, all that stuff. So I very, very carefully took down the recipe. I put it in my recipe box, and I said I called them goal weight brownies. Oh, girl, I got to tell you, I never have made those silly brownies. For some reason, okay, well, now I'm just not interested in them because it's just too much and it doesn't turn me on, all that combination of stuff. But it was something that I thought that I couldn't have because during those years, I was very, very careful, trying to be very careful about what I ate and keeping the points under range and keeping the calories under range and, you know, the activity, trying to balance activity, well, actually offset the food that I had eaten with activity. So I was like a crazy person. But that's one of the things that really, really stinks about waiting for things in order to be the size or the weight or the shape that you want to be. Give me a call. My number is 760-888-5736. I want you to think about, what have you been waiting for? So much, that silly recipe thing, that was just a very, very small example of how I was living my life in a holding pattern. It was crazy. I wouldn't buy new clothes because I didn't want to waste my money. I wouldn't go dancing because I didn't want people to see me shaking my fat. I didn't feel comfortable making love with my husband because I wanted so much, and I thought that he wanted in me to have a beautiful, flat, thin stomach and strong, tight, toned legs, even though he told me that he absolutely loved my body no matter what. The tapes inside of my head said, oh, you're full of crap. So I waited. I put things off. I held off. I procrastinated. I distanced myself. I was in a perpetual state of waiting. How about you? What have you been waiting for? You know, in this crazy thin as in beauty in a bottle culture, we've come to devalue the person and think only about the packaging. the models and the celebrities that you see everywhere. All those magazines have been retouched. They don't have flaws because they Photoshop them out. Yet, in our endless pursuit of perfection, we all still want to look like them. But the truth is, nobody, none of us, is perfect. We all have our flaws. And to accept them means that we can actually rise above them. So let me clarify for you. When I talk about the importance of loving your body exactly as it is, it does not mean settling and saying, oh, this is it. This is the best I can be. I'm not going to change. I'm not ever going to lose weight. I'm not ever going to be any different. I just have to accept myself. Yes, you do have to accept yourself, but that does not mean settling. What that means is that you're opening the door to loving yourself. Because when you love yourself, you do good things for yourself. What I encourage my clients to do and what I teach them to do is to listen to their bodies with a new level of self-respect so that they can pay attention. And I absolutely have a no-diet zone way of teaching. I am not about dieting at all. And in several weeks, around May 2nd or so, just in time for National No Diet Day, one of my colleagues, Gillian Hood Gabrielson and I are going to be doing a program on no dieting. But what I teach my clients is the ability to listen to what they want. Now, damn it, if that means eating a bag of Cheetos and then finishing with a pint of chocolate ice cream or a quart or whatever amount, it doesn't matter, then that's what you need to do. Because just like a person who has been deprived of oxygen for so long, if you know what it's like to have been on a diet for like a billion and a half years, you know how you feel so frightened around food, how you've become so used to counting calories and looking at fat grams and trying to, you know, keep food out of your refrigerator or watch what you eat or have only certain days or times when you give yourself time to cheat, quote unquote. Well, that completely changes. I teach my coaching clients how to listen to their body because, oh my gosh, this is the mind-blowing thing, is that after a certain point, when you have eaten enough of whatever it is, whatever your go-to food is, whatever the food is that you yearn for, that you think about, that you want, that you crave, at a certain point, you hit a level of tolerance and you realize it ain't all that. I know it's crazy, and in some ways it's also kind of scary because you'll mourn that sense, that part of you that feels the need to constantly go for that food. You'll realize that it doesn't quite taste the way that you had it in your memory, the way that you had it in your mind. Now, I'm not speaking specifically, well, actually, it's more kind of toward the junk food things. There's a lot of stuff that you are probably eating that tastes mediocre, but because of the fact that you have it linked up in your brain with something that's forbidden, something that you shouldn't be eating, something that you used to eat when you were a kid and it has good times, you know, associated with it, you want that. It would kill for that. And the idea is that when you are given the opportunity, when you give yourself permission to eat that, all of a sudden you'll get a whole fresh sense of that food and you'll taste it, perhaps as if for the first time, and you'll realize, it tastes different than I remembered it. And that is why this whole method of intuitive eating, which my guest Gillian Hood Gabrielson will be coming to teach on April 17th. She's going to teach you that. We're going to be talking about why it's important to listen to your body and how and why you can trust your body. What I want you to think about is going back to that silly commercial, the before woman. That before woman, that sad picture, she was actually the one who got the smiling, thin woman to the place where she could actually enjoy that afterlife. It was the before woman who dragged her butt out of bed every single day to go to the gym or go walking when she didn't want to. It was the before woman who had to say no to the cookies and the ice cream and any other food that she wanted. It was the before woman who did all the work. And then the after woman, the one who's pushing the before woman's picture away and saying, I don't want anything to do with you, she has the nerve to shun the other gal and dismiss her like she's a piece of dirt. Now, let me ask you. You probably would never treat someone else like dirt, would you? But think about this. If you've been shunning yourself, waiting for that after you, that perfect image of you to make your appearance, that's what you're doing to yourself. I used to do the same exact thing. It made losing weight and trying to keep it off seem impossible. No matter how hard I tried, no matter what I did, it never, ever seemed like enough. And I always, always push myself for more, more, harder, faster, on the treadmill, go longer. In order to mold myself into what I thought was the perfect body, I was so damned ugly and mean to myself than anybody could ever be. My desire, my urge, my compulsion to lose weight became so insane that it took over my life. It made me absolutely miserable, and it totally eclipsed my soul, the best, best part of me. Today, I had the absolute honor to go to the Renfrew Center in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and present and talk to a group of therapists. And it was so exciting to be part of the solution and not spinning around in the diet zone talking about the problem. I was teaching them and giving them the tools of the EFT that I've shared with you and showing them how they can teach their clients and how they can use that to help their clients feel good about themselves when they're down. That's what I'm here to share with you and to teach you, how to love yourself more. And that really starts with, that really starts with being aware of what is and who you are. How do you feel about yourself? What do you think of your body? Okay, sorry, guys. I'm so technologically inept sometimes. You know, so many women grow up thinking that something's wrong with them, and they learn to hate their bodies and compare themselves to others, wishing that they were thinner or taller or more athletic or just, you know, more in whatever way. Always kind of feeling that nagging sense of just not enoughness. Either we're too much or we're not enough. You know, maybe you hear it every single time you stand naked in front of the mirror. I'm so fat. What's the matter with me? I wish I weren't so ugly. Oh, look at these crow's feet. Excuse me. We just pick ourselves apart like vultures. And it's so, so sad. Let me read you a story from my book, Love in the Skin You're In. Sorry. Let me turn off my phone. The story is called My Big Fat Thighs, So Many Size, Oversize. Who would ever think there would be so much fuss over how we look? My obsession with my body kicked into high gear pretty early on. I remember one particular event that cemented itself in my brain as an iconic symbol for how I would think of myself for years to come. As I mentioned earlier, my parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and I went to live with my mother. When I was 9, Mom remarried and took my baby brother, David, and I to live in Florida. I hated it there and wanted to go back and be with my father. When I was 11, after a horrific couple of years in Florida, my dream came true, and I had the opportunity to return to New York and live with my dad and his fiancée, Rosie. At the time, I didn't know her very well, so I wasn't sure if I liked her or not. To my way of thinking, she was as beautiful as a model. She reminded me of Cher with her bold confidence and striking features, her long, naturally curly auburn hair, big brown eyes, and petite figure. I knew without a doubt my dad was crazy about her because they were so happy together, and he showered her with gifts of furs and jewelry. One day, that first year back with my dad, I went shopping for school clothes with Rosie. We went to the Bergen Mall in New Jersey. We'd been shopping for days, and now we were going to the mall trying to find pants that fit me. Dun, da, da, da. After having been through the entire length of the mall once, we were making our way back to the very beginning. I was exhausted when we ended up in Lerner Stores, and now that's called New York and Company. Dad sat outside waiting while Rosie and I combed through the racks and grabbed armloads of pants, ranging between sizes 12 and 14. Before we went into the fitting room, I said a quick, silent prayer that this time something would fit. Oh, please, God, help me. We'd been through so many stores trying on clothes, and I was sweaty, tired, and hungry. I felt awful, wishing I could fall through the floor. No matter where we went, nothing fit me. It seemed that every pair of pants I tried on wouldn't budge past my fat, dimply thighs. I was so ashamed of my chunky little body. As I got close to the bottom of the pile, I picked up speed and breathed heavily as I wrestled desperately with the buttons, buckles, and belts on each pair of pants. A couple times, I even remember grabbing them defiantly from Rosie. I was so furious with myself, and I kept wondering, why am I so fat? Why are my thighs so big? Why can't I find pants that fit me? What's wrong with me? The big sizes that managed to go up over my fat thighs were way too big on my waist. I couldn't stand the pressure or the heat any longer. The dam burst. I started wailing and crying hysterically. I stood there in the middle of Lerner's fitting room feeling helpless and ugly and fat in those damn pants that wouldn't go up past my thighs. I wanted to die. I'd lost all control and was completely overwhelmed. After an embarrassingly tearful display of what I considered a real lack of self-control, we walked out of the store. Silent and empty-handed, we headed down the mall to have lunch at Wolfie's, my favorite deli. Eating usually helped me feel better no matter what or where. At Wolfie's, I loved to pick up the dill pickle slices in the barrel with the pickle tongs that the waitresses placed on our table. It was usually such fun. It reminded me of going fishing. But this time, I didn't touch the pickles, and I choked down my food, probably because my stomach was upset from being too hungry and crying so much. The silence was so thick you could cut it with a knife. After lunch, Dad said I needed to get shoes, so we headed back to Baker's Shoe Store in the mall. I still felt pretty raw from the meltdown that I had earlier, and I just wanted to go home. But I had to get shoes for school. Like my thighs, I also hated my wide feet. As the salesman tried on shoe after shoe with nothing fitting, I looked over and saw Dad's expression. He looked disgusted. I watched him make his way over to a display called Earth Shoes. Oh, my God. They looked like orthopedics. Old lady shoes, so hideously ugly, I wanted to die. Tears welled up inside of me again. Could he really expect me to wear those? He picked one up and said, I'd like to see this in an 8 in whatever colors you have. I was stunned, shocked, stupefied. As the salesman returned with his arms full of boxes, a part of me zoned out. I could feel him putting the shoes on my feet and lacing them up, but I was so lost in my thoughts. These have to be the ugliest shoes in the world, and nobody in school would wear them. Everybody's going to make fun of me. I was shaken out of my reverie when Dad said, okay, they fit, time to go home. The ride back to Manhattan was silent. Soon after we settled for the evening, I was told that since we couldn't find any pants that fit me, and we'd already been looking for days with absolutely no luck, Rosie's sister Ida was going to make my clothes. I was mortified. I figured I must have been so fat that no store in the world would carry my size. I cried myself to sleep that night. Several weeks later, Ida came over to the house and proudly unwrapped her creations. 12 pairs of pants with elastic waistbands and big muumuu tops with ties that looked like maternity wear. That's when it hit me. This was who I was. I was a fat girl. I want you to think about a time in your life when it came to you that you were a fat girl, that something was wrong with your body. Because it's that image of yourself that I want you to hold the deepest love and the deepest compassion for that part of you. Because really, you were only doing the best that you could. Today, I want you to begin to appreciate and thank each and every one of your body parts for its ability to do so many things and function and be loyal to you. Your body has been with you all this time. It's been there for you, and it's never, ever abandoned you. I want you to think about showing it some love in return. I want you to think about the excess weight on your body as being that suit of armor that I talked about, protecting that younger part of you, that more vulnerable, maybe it's not younger. Maybe it's a time, maybe you started gaining weight when you were in a vulnerable place. Maybe you had a bad marriage. Maybe school was really tough on you and the pounds started piling on. No matter what, I want you to picture that part of you. I want you to see that image of yourself like a photograph and feel compassion for that person who you were. And recognize that that person that was starting to build the armor, that was starting to overeat as a way of compensating for not feeling good enough, I want you to recognize that is a precious part of you. I want you to make a list of all the qualities and achievements that you have. Think about, are you a great listener? Are you a fabulous friend? Remind yourself that you are so much more than just a body. oh my God, please, please, please stop weighing yourself. I want you to reclaim your power from that miserable, miserable piece of scrap metal and just step away from the scale. It is deadly. It's so important to start wearing clothes that fit you right now. If you're a size 14 or 16 or 18, don't be hanging on to those size 8s trying to squeeze into them. You will only create more misery. Wear clothes in flattering colors and styles that fit you right now, today, at this moment. Look for local stores that carry plus sizes that are beautiful and fashionable and comfortable. Look online and look for plus size women who have a look and a feel and a confidence that you admire, and get some, you know, fashion and style tips from them. I don't actually have a specific date to tell you, but very soon upcoming, I'm going to be interviewing Catherine Schuler, one of the great plus-size models, and she is the president of the Association of Image Consultants International, and she's going to teach you so, so much about fashion and looking good and feeling great at any size. Most, most important, I want you to start paying attention to yourself, and with the loving care and the attention of one who loves you, start touching your body. Start really, really connecting with yourself, especially those parts of you that just totally gross you out. I want you to spread some love and think about how deserving of love and compassion you are. I know it's going to take a leap of faith and make it okay to be the size you are today. But just like I did, you're going to find your perfection in the folds of your imperfection. Please look deeper. Go beyond the person. Go beyond the image that you see in the mirror. Because the image that you're looking at yourself in the mirror, that's part of like the hold on. That's the holdout. There's an image of yourself that you're carrying around in your brain. If you see yourself as a fat, ugly woman, which is what I hear all the time women telling me, I feel so fat and ugly, I'm disgusting, I hate my body. There's a part of you that sees yourself in that way. And by looking at that, and going deeper and realizing that your weight issues didn't happen overnight. It occurred over a period of time. That weight came on as a result of feelings of need to protect, to insulate. It, just like Jeanine Roth said, it was your way of speaking. It was your way of asking for things. It was your way of saying, go away. Come here, I need a hug. All of those things that you didn't feel the ability that you could say, that was what you've been using food for. I'm here to teach you all of those other things, all of those skills, the assertiveness, the confidence building, the stress relief, all of those underlying issues. Build up that core of you so that you'll be a strong, powerful woman and feel like you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to make excuses for your size. Whatever size it is you are freaking fabulous. I want you to look deeper, and that way you'll see how amazing you are. I'm here to help you. If you want to go deeper with me, I offer private and group coaching programs. You can always find me on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. Now, as I mentioned before, we're going to close this show with today's Juicy Woman Checklist Task of the Day. Here's what I want you to focus on. Oh, baby. Are you avoiding the scale? I want you to. I really, really do want you to avoid the scale. Because every single time you step on the scale, if you're like me, as I have been in the past, feeling the compulsive need to get on the scale and to kind of use that scale as your horoscope to tell you what kind of day you're going to have, if that scale has that kind of power over you, you have to reclaim that power back and stop giving that scale the ability to tell you how you're entitled to feel. So until you get stronger and until you're able to handle the feelings that will come as a result of getting on the scale and not seeing the results you're looking for, I really encourage you to put it away or be very, very judicious about the times that you do get on it. Please don't be getting on the scale every day or several times a day. If you're going to do it, oh, God, I don't even want to tell you once a week. I would recommend once a month. Oh, girl, I would recommend once every 6 months. The scale is just simply not an accurate measurement for change. It's not. I mean, we'll go into that in another episode where I'll talk to you about that. But I want you to really pay attention to how your body feels and the things that you're saying to yourself. Are you putting yourself down? If you are, I want you to go to that go-to image that I want you to pull up in your brain and think that you are so much more than just a body. Give yourself that love and compassion. And until I talk to you again next week, have a fabulous, fabulous week. I love you. Bye, Juicy Woman.